Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 103 of the Open Mic Podcast. It's Brett Allen, your illustrious podcast host. Welcome back, everybody, from Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a super happy turkey day, if you eat turkey. Some people eat ham. If you eat turkey, that's great. If you eat ham, that's even better. I'm not a big turkey fan. I never really have been. And a lot of people give me a hard time about this because, you know, turkey is traditionally what would be considered, you know, the Thanksgiving bird. But maybe some people don't like turkey. I guess it has that tryptophan in it. Or whatever that is, it makes you sleepy. And, or it can sometimes be really dry. I was talking to my Uber driver about this the other day. You know, she asked me, she's Iranian, she's a super cool lady. And she asked me, you know, what Americans do for Thanksgiving. You know, well, she's asking about ham, sorry. And she's like, well, why do you do ham and turkey? And so we have this conversation about, you know, well, some people like ham. And some people like turkey, and sometimes they eat it together. It just kind of depends on, you know, what it is that you want to do. So we're having this conversation, and she's like, well, I don't eat ham, obviously. And I go, well, how do you cook your turkey? And she's like, well, I make it really juicy. So we're having this conversation, you know, on the way home in the Uber, and she's like telling me how she cooks it. And she has this, she said she had this secret recipe. It was a really cool conversation. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. So, and then I gave her a card for the podcast. Trying to get as many people to listen as possible. And so there's that as well. Shout out to Spade Sunshades for sponsoring this podcast. It's Christmas time, just about time to get your gifts. If you head over to Spade Sunshades and use promo code Brett's Open Mic, you get free shipping on me. Head over there, buy some sunglasses. They're great for Christmas gifts. There are four poker players made by poker players, but even if you don't play poker, that's totally fine. These are still amazing sunglasses. And if you have kids, my son got a hold of these and was like bending them and they didn't break at all. Now, I can't guarantee that they're childproof, but they're super cool sunglasses. If you follow me on Instagram at the Open Mic Podcast, you'll see I have some posters or some pictures posted of the sunglasses. They're super cool. And, it's a lot of fun. They make great Christmas gifts. Like I said, I'll pay for your shipping if you use promo code Brett's Open Mic. So hopefully everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Now it's almost time for Christmas, buying gifts, all of that fun and exciting thing. And thanks everybody for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. That's the greatest gift, that you want to be a part of it. And we're still moving along. Also, if you head over to our website, theopenmicpodcast.net, that is where you'll find all the most recent episodes and information about guests we've had, featured celebrities, all of that sort of thing. Also, Brett's Open Mic on Instagram, or sorry, Twitter. I can't keep up with it. And then, of course, Brett Allen on Facebook. And we've got some amazing guests coming down the pike. Evan Carmichael, he's going to be on the show here soon. We've got some other celebrities lined up. I'm super excited about it. Some names that I can't mention because it's still a little ways away, but we've got firm commitments from. So these are some huge names that are coming on the show. And I'm so excited. We've got an astronaut coming. Wow. Just, it's crazy what's happening. And Jen Briney, she's going to be coming on the show. She's a superstar, rock star podcaster, and she's actually a client of the guest that we're going to interview today of Interview Connections, Jessica Roach, the co-owner and co-founder. She'll be coming on the line here in just a minute. But Jen Briney, we're actually going to do our very first live interview. We're going to meet at my office space that I just leased in Oakland, WeWorks. And so WeWork, and shout out to WeWork for helping us out. So we're going to do a live interview. It's my first one, so I'm excited. Jen Briney is just so cool. She's a mega star, mega podcaster, and I can't believe that she's coming on the show. I think I already said that, but I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll be fun to do my very first in-person interview, and hopefully there'll be more of that. So without further ado, let's bring our guest on today. Jessica Rose is her name, and as I mentioned, what she does. And it's going to be a fun conversation. I'm excited about it. Jessica, welcome on into the podcast. It's good to have you here today.
Hey, Brett. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be a guest.
Thank you so much. So you are the co-founder and co-owner of a fantastic company, Interview Connections. And I just want to say to our listeners, this will be a little bit of a masterclass on podcasting a bit. So buckle up, but I know you guys love it. So you do a lot of different things. Before we get into what you do, let's talk about how you became a business owner, an entrepreneur, and that sort of thing. How you got into all of this.
Yeah. So thank you so much for asking. We just recently had our 5-year anniversary, which is really exciting to just look back and see everything that's happened in the last 5 years. When I was pregnant with my first child, I was working at a nonprofit and wanted to not have that job when I had a baby because I was managing a door-to-door field canvas. And it was really just not the job that I wanted to be doing when I was a new mom. So I started a business, under my dad's business coaching. He helped me get started. And first I became a virtual assistant. And one of the tasks that I was offering as a virtual assistant was to book podcast interviews. I'm kind of shortening this story because you guys don't need like every detail of the last 5 years, but I started a business being a virtual assistant. I was booking my clients for interviews on podcasts. And Brett, at the time, podcasting, you know, had been around for 5 to 7 years, but it was just starting to get popular with business owners and entrepreneurs. There were not nearly as many people launching podcasts as there are today. A lot of people got started in podcasting after Entrepreneur on Fire got really big and John Lee Dumas started Podcasters Paradise. There was a huge influx of entrepreneurs launching podcasts around that time. And you know, John was one of the first podcasters that I pitched one of my clients to as a guest. And honestly, like that connection was pivotal for me in my journey because John replied and said, yes, I'd love to have your client on my show. I'd also love to be a guest on his show. And so right there, I made those connections and just kept building that relationship with John. When he launched Podcasters Paradise, I offered his members a discount on my services. And so he put me, Interview Connections, in the resources section of Podcasters Paradise. And we were the first and only podcast booking agency at that time, about a year and a half after I launched Interview Connections. My first competitor popped up, which was actually a former client of mine. And then a couple years later, more and more people started launching podcast booking agencies. But we were the first, and it was really interesting to start a business offering a service that no one else had been offering because, you know, on the one hand, people, when they realized they needed that service, they were like, okay, well, you're the only option. On the other hand, not as many people realized they needed or wanted that service. So it wasn't like I launched the website and everyone started flooding in. Quite the contrary. I launched the website thinking everyone was going to flood in and it was kind of crickets. And I was like, oh, I actually have to be marketing and like promoting and then learning how to price it because I mean, nobody else was doing podcast booking. I had no idea what people would pay or how much to charge. So my first prices were $47 a month and $77 a month for the two different levels. It's safe to say I did not make very much money that year. But, you know, I just kept increasing the prices as people would sign up with no hesitation. I was like, okay, probably not charging enough. And then I started hiring people. I had a team of contractors, 1099 contractors, who were helping me book the interviews. And then in 2017, we started hiring employees. My business partner, Margie Feldtune, was actually my first employee. She had started as a contractor, became my first employee, and together she and I hired our team of in-house booking agents. And today, in 2018, we have 8 full-time booking agents in-house. We don't use a remote team anymore. Everyone's under the same roof. And it's been a really exciting journey. We actually just hired a manager to help us oversee everything, which is really exciting. So that's sort of the overview of how the last 5 years have been.
Yes, and I have worked with your team. I don't remember his name offhand because I get so many emails, but I have a couple guests lined up that you guys have referred, so I'm excited to have them on. Jen Briney is one of them, which
Jen's awesome.
I'm so excited about that. That's huge.
She's like a superstar in podcasting.
She is, yeah. And I can't believe that I'm going to have her on the show. So that's
awesome.
Have you
interviewed her yet? Have you recorded it yet?
I haven't. No, we're recording it here next week, I believe, after the holidays. So,
and she's actually in the Bay Area. I wonder if you guys can do it in person.
Possibly.
I actually thought of that this morning. I was like, oh, do they know that they're in the same city?
We might be able to work it out. It's quite possible. Cool. But I'm excited to talk to her for sure. Very excited about that. So essentially, you guys operate on two sides. You mm-hmm. do podcast booking, and you book guests. You provide guests for people, but you also provide assistance for podcasters as well, correct?
So we get entrepreneurs who want to be booked as a guest on other people's shows. That is the majority of our business. And then we also have some podcast hosts who pay us to find guests for their show.
So you kind of do both. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing this for quite a long time. So I wanted to ask you, what is the value of podcasting from your perspective, both as a guest and a host? Because it seems like everybody has a podcast now. If you're a celebrity, mm-hmm. no offense to anybody listening, but everybody has a show. If you want to be popular, have a show. And then they get this instant following of so many people, and they mm-hmm. don't really hustle. Or maybe they do. I don't know. I'm assuming mm-hmm. a lot. But from your perspective as an agent, mm-hmm. a business owner, what value of podcasting do you see both as a guest and a host?
Yeah, so the value of podcasting has so much to do with the relationships that you connect with and that you build with the interviews that you do and with your listeners. If you're doing a show where it's just co-hosted or you do a solo show, you're really building a relationship with your listeners. So from the guest side of things, if you're going on other people's shows as a guest, you're building relationships with those hosts who are likely going to be entrepreneurs in your industry, or they're going to be influencers with a following. So you're also going to be getting in front of their audience. So, you know, several hundred to several thousand listeners on a podcast interview that you do are going to now know who you are, know what you do, and feel like they know you because they're hearing you talk, they're hearing you converse with a host that they really like and that they listen to on a regular basis. And as a host, this gives you an opportunity to own your own media, which is incredibly valuable. When you have your own show, you own a form of media where you can bring people on for interviews that you would not have been able to have a conversation with otherwise. We were talking about this before the show, Brett. Like, if you want to be having a 30-minute phone conversation with someone who is, you know, a successful entrepreneur who's been maybe the winner of Project Runway, who I know you interviewed. they probably wouldn't just chat with you on the phone for 30 minutes if they don't know you, but you say, I'd love to interview you on my podcast. They want media exposure. Mm-hmm. They want an opportunity to share their story with more people. And so you give them that opportunity. Then you also have the time to ask them questions and to get feedback from them and stuff like that. So Those are a couple of the benefits, but really what can come out of the relationships that you start and build and nurture from podcast interviews? I mean, so much. People get quality leads to their business. You can actually close clients. I've had a lot of clients who they do a podcast interview and then the host actually becomes a client of theirs. Our client, Chris Daly, is with Disruptive Advertising, and he says 15% of the podcast hosts who interview him end up becoming a client of Wow. Disruptive Advertising, which is amazing. So it's just such a no-brainer strategy to invest in when you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think so. And I agree with you in the point that, you know, celebrities, whoever, entrepreneurs, if they really truly want, and I think that's where some of my success has come from, is they just want to reach a new audience, you know, whether it's Lyris or whether it's so many other people I've had. It's just an opportunity to get their message out, even if it's to five more people, mm-hmm. then they want to do it. And I think that's what makes podcasting so amazing. And I feel like we've just barely wiped the fog off the mirror as far as where this is all really going to go. Mm-hmm. And people taking it seriously, from my perspective at least. So I wanted to ask you, and this is a little bit of a quick pivot, but let's say you are a podcaster like myself or whomever, yourself, you and your team, and mm-hmm. you have a big Instagram following, and that's really your format to promote your show. What are some thoughts on converting those followers to actual listeners? Do you have any opinions about that? Because I'm very curious if you do.
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. I would say use stories and live videos. That's definitely been the consistent advice that I've heard from Instagram followers, is that stories are where it's at. I know as an Instagram user, I am on Instagram probably way more than I should be.
Guilty here. Is,
like I'm just on there, and it's so funny. I will tell you a story that I will just like sit down on the couch at night after I put my kids to bed. I'll turn on the TV, I'll look at my phone, and while like Netflix on the home screen is just up there, I'll just be looking at Instagram stories. Like I will like just watch Instagram stories like their TV. It's insane. So I would definitely use Instagram stories and then Instagram Live. I think that Instagram Live and Facebook are really prioritizing live videos to, you know, show people and stuff like that. So those are the two things that I would do. I would keep it personal too. And like, honestly, this advice really is coming from me as a user of Instagram. So, and I think that's like where the best advice comes from. I don't really follow a lot of pages where it's just like pure promotional. Like it's clearly a graphic that was designed by a graphic designer. Sure. I follow Instagram pages and stories that it's like that person is talking to me, you know, and it's more of a personal connection. So I think it is important. Like obviously on our business page, we've got like quotes and stuff like that and testimonials, but we try to loop it in with entertaining stuff as well. And then just keep building to get up to 10,000 followers. Cause as soon as you can add the swipe up feature, that's when you're really going to start being able to drive people to your mm-hmm. website. The other advice that I would have is the link in your profile. If you know that most people, and you might be able to find this on your podcast hosting account, if most people are listening on an iOS device, I would make that link go to the iTunes podcast app. Because do you mind if I just like put you on the spot, Brett?
No, why not?
Okay. So for example, I wanted to listen to your podcast, obviously, before I did this interview. So I went to the link in your profile and it took me to your website. But I had a hard time finding the link to iTunes. I wanted to listen on my phone while I was like walking around my house. But if I played it on your website on my phone, if my phone goes, you know, obviously falls asleep or whatever, then it stops playing. And I want to be able to close that page and do other things on my phone while the podcast is playing. So to make it easy for listeners to just like get to your podcast and click play and not have to click around in a mobile website, I would put the link to the podcast app. And so obviously you can check and see if you know you have more listeners on Android, maybe link to like Stitcher or Google Play. But I mean, I have an iPhone. I think most people have iPhones. So you can link to the podcast, the link, like the iTunes link. And so that way when people click over, it just brings them to the podcast app rather than bringing up your website and taking them out of Instagram, which nobody wants to be taken out of Instagram if you're in Instagram.
No, I love it. That's great. I will make that correction. That's good. I've kind of actually struggled with that a little bit, but That's good. I appreciate that. That's
yeah. And just to relate to you, I didn't mean to. Well, I guess I did mean to put you on the spot because I asked your permission. But I mean, I've played around with having many different links in my profile. So I think you kind of have to see what works. Like for a while I had links to our podcast and then I had links to my blog, and you know, for us generating leads is the biggest thing. So we have links to the page where people apply to work with us. So, you know, you have to try a bunch of different things, but I think if your number one goal is to get people to listen to your podcast, I would take them right to a podcast app on their phone because people are looking at Instagram on their phone.
Okay. That's great. No, I love that. I really do. And that sort of confirms some theories I've had in my head. However, the website is important, but to drive that traffic, if you say link in bio, most people click it and then they instantly go to iTunes and cool. All right. Very good.
You can also, I have some other tips that just popped into my head. So you can get creative with, like, do you know how to record your screen on your phone?
I do. Yeah. The audiograms. Yes.
Yeah. So on your iPhone, if you swipe up, you can actually record your screen. So I've done that as a way to show people through my Instagram story, like, here's how you find it. So I'll record my screen and then actually click through to my podcast on my screen. So, and then like actually drawing an arrow to where they would click to view your bio if they're watching your stories. So anyway, just there's just some different tips, but just get creative and get people over to the podcast app.
No, I love it. Thank you so much, Jessica. That's fantastic. Sure. So all you podcasters listening, Eric, I know you're listening.
Hi, Eric.
No link trees, none of that. And I actually talked to Brittany Hennessy, who wrote a book called Influencer, and she was actually saying how it drives those bookers and media buyers nuts when there's so many different links. So that's good. I appreciate that. Just a straight click to iTunes.
Yeah, and I get the link tree. It's interesting. I think for some influencers, if they're pointing to a lot of different links, they've got a lot of different pages with products they're selling, I think that there's a place for that. But we're right now, I think, talking to podcasters about driving traffic from their page to their podcast. So for that purpose, I would keep it real simple and get people into a podcast app and not drive them to a bunch of different pages.
No, that's great. I love it. So when you are looking to put a guest on a show, what are some of the must-haves that you're looking for as an agent? Let's say you have an entrepreneur like Dan Martell. Let's say you were representing him and you wanted to get him on shows. What are some things that you all and Margie are looking for before you reach out to him and say, hey, we would like to bring this guest on your show?
Yeah. So when we start working with a guest to get them booked on shows, we do a whole discovery process with them. And this is really what's going to give us the information to know what kinds of shows to look for that person and then how to pitch them. So in our strategy process, we're going to be talking to the guest about what their goals are for podcasting. So if you're listening and you want to be a guest on podcasts, like, take some notes because you want to kind of go through the strategy on your own to know, like, to make sure you have a successful podcast tour. So figure out what your goals are for podcasting. What do you want to get out of it? So for me, I know that my goals for podcasting are to just build the exposure for interview connections, to be talking to potential clients, to be connecting with podcast hosts who may interview our clients so we can keep building relationships with podcast hosts in the industry. So I'm really clear about what our goals are. And so then before, you know, when I go on a show, I'll say, okay, does it help me with one of those goals? Like, you've interviewed a lot of our clients. So strengthening our relationship with you, Brett, is really important. Like, I'm checking that box off for a goal. You know, I also like looked at the guests that you've interviewed. I'm like, wow, he's interviewed some like really high level entrepreneurs that would probably be potential clients of Interview Connection. So it looks like a good show that I would want to align myself with. So you kind of just look at what your goals are. And then when you find potential shows, you want to answer that question of like, okay, is this show going to help me, you know, reach my goals? And then you want to put together suggested interview topics and questions that you'd use on your one sheet, which is the one sheet is the branded PDF that you would then send to potential podcast hosts to ask you. And those interview topics and questions should be teeing you up to give valuable information to their audience. So the topics and questions are on my one sheet are about podcasting, podcast guesting. If you're listening to the Open Mic podcast, then you are probably interested in podcasting because this is a really interesting show with different guests, and maybe you want to start a podcast too. So by having you, Brett, ask me these questions on my one sheet, again, it's teeing me up to give valuable information to your listeners. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. I think, again, as we were talking pre-show, there is a lot of workflow that goes into putting something together like this. You know, we're talking and we're recording, but you've done your research. I've done my research. So it's really incumbent upon both parties to really put in the work to do it if you can. You know, unless you're somebody that maybe goes out and does live interviews, or you don't know if you're going to have a ton of lead up time to prepare, or it's somebody who's doing a press junket, where you're just like, I was interviewing Dan Martell. I was number one of 20 of interviews that day. So he had a system set up where I actually had to submit all my questions in advance.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was a whole form that I had to fill out. It took like 10 minutes. And in that section, I had to list everything I was going to ask. I had to be very specific about my time. And so when I was his turn, he said, "Hey, Brett, Dan Martell, how are you, my friend? Let's rock and roll this." So there was no chit-chatting, no pre-show. Yeah. It was just like, you have 25 minutes, so ask everything you can. On the other hand, it's crazy.
That's really interesting. And that's like, as a podcast host, it's, I love that you said, you know, it's a two-way street or something to that effect. And I completely agree with that. I think that for podcasts to be successful for both the guest and the host, it really does take work on both sides. Like, so as a guest, you want to prepare for the interview. The way I prepare for a podcast interview is I make sure that I listen to at least one episode of the person's show, or multiple episodes, parts of multiple episodes. So, and that's super easy to do, because what I'll honestly do is I play it like the morning of the interview when I'm getting ready in the morning. So it's not like I'm sitting down and like blocking out an hour of time. It's like, I'll just play it while I'm putting my makeup on, or like, you know, getting ready, eating breakfast, stuff like that. And by listening, I get a sense of your style. I get a sense of who you've interviewed before. Like, I listened to your Project Runway winner interview, which was really cool. And then I listened to you interviewed a woman who, you know, had the first agency for visual artists. And that caught my eye because, you know, we have the first agency for podcast interviews.
Marie and Tungi,
and so I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. And so I got the sense of like, you're really into people's stories. Like, it helped me understand what you like. And then I noticed, and you could probably talk more about how you prepare, but at least I saw that you followed me on Instagram. You replied to one of my Instagram stories yesterday. So from there, I'm like, okay, he knows I went roller skating yesterday with my kid. And so we're like getting to know each other on a more personal level, and not just like what's on my one sheet, right? Because it's like, what's in my professional bio isn't all of who I am. And I think that the great part about podcast interviews, what can make them amazing, is if the host and the guest can connect on a more personal level. Like, I did one podcast interview that I remember where it was so awkward, Brett. Like, I got on Skype, there was no pre-chat. And like, literally, I you know, answered the Skype call and the interview had started. I was like, oh my God, like, I've had those.
Yeah, I've had those. And I always found, and Eric, again, you're getting a lot of plugging on this show today, my friend. So, but you deserve it. But one thing that he has taught me is the fact that, you know, I like to talk about things where it may not necessarily be a part of their talking points, which I think is great. So, like, yeah, you mentioned roller skating, that sort of thing. You've had things on your story that are, I just die laughing.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I try to keep it entertaining.
Yes, you guys are like, I love it. It just makes me laugh out loud. So, but he interviewed, you know, the psychopath within, I think, this doctor who was this, that, and the other, did a brain scan and found out that he was the one that was the killer, something like that. It was a really big deal back in the early 2000s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway, he went to interview this guy, and long story short, he was like, I'll perform for you. I've done, he's been on all kinds of stuff, NPR, whatever, TED Talks, but he actually took the interview in a completely different direction. And didn't really talk about any of that other stuff as far as what his talking points were. So I think I like that we are symbiotic in the sense that you got to keep it fun and you got to learn about people. And guests really like it when you ask them things that maybe aren't necessarily part of their talking points, just maybe something personal about when they grew up or mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And I had an actress on out of Atlanta, and she had a YouTube series called Southern Belles, which was like a Sex in the City, but in the South. She had completely forgot about it, but I found it on YouTube and I asked her about it, and she started laughing. She was cracking up. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So that kind of stuff is fun.
It is. And on it, yeah, I totally agree with you. Like I said, you know, it's nice to have the one sheet. You know, obviously, like, those questions tee guests up to kind of talk about what they talk about. But on the other hand, that's the stuff that I talk about all the time. So I like being surprised with like different stuff and just keeping it conversational, because I think that's what makes podcast interviews interesting and engaging and entertaining for the listeners.
Absolutely. So what you're going to interview somebody, you have a podcast as well, Rock the Podcast, which I want to mention before we run out of time here. How is that? Is that a subsidiary of... You were doing this before you started your business, or this became after your business, or it was kind of in between?
Yep. So yeah, I'll give that timeline. So I started Interview Connections, my company, in September of 2013. That's when I started the business. I had been booking interviews for 6 months prior as a VA. Rock the Podcast was launched a year after that, in October 2014. The original name was called Roads to Success. It was a more general marketing and business show where I was interviewing entrepreneurs and business experts. And then a couple years after that, I rebranded. It was called Interview Connections for like a month. And then I realized I didn't like that name because it was too confusing to have it be the same name as the business. So we then it's called Rock the Podcast. So, and that's just like a side note for podcasters listening. Like, it's okay to change the name. The show is over 4 years old. It's been rebranded. The format has been tweaked and changed over the years, but it's the same feed. So you can go back to episodes years ago and still hear my voice.
So rebranding is okay then. Is there a point of when you should or should not do it? Or I know there's a whole masterclass Dave Jackson does on rebuilding and rebranding, how to do it.
Oh my gosh.
When to do it.
It's insane. It's a great question. And yeah, Dave Jackson has, I'm sure he has loads of content on that question. I also did an episode about that a couple years ago, actually shortly after I rebranded. My friend Corey Coates is the co-founder of Podfly Productions, podfly.net. Okay. And he was in the office with me, and we actually did an episode with him about rebranding. So I will get you that link. You can put it in the show description for this episode. Yes, so if people want to listen to that. But yeah, I think it's fine. I think, like, if I were to summarize my advice, I would say if you want to rebrand, you want to give your podcast some time. Like, don't do it 3 months in. I'm consulting with a nonprofit right now on launching their podcast, and we started the process over the summer. It still hasn't launched, and they've changed the name a bunch of times. I'm like, guys, you just need to launch. Okay. You can't rebrand.
Do it.
Don't rebrand a million times before you even launch. Don't rebrand a million times in the first 6 months. You've got to give the market some time to listen and tell you if they like what you've made. Because the only way to improve is actually to start, see what the listeners think of the show. So I would wait like a minimum of 6 months. And that's not a hard and fast rule. If you want to rebrand after 2 days, like, go for it. You know, live your best life. But my general advice is to give the podcast some time to be heard by people, to get some feedback. Listen to the episode that I did, and then check out Dave Jackson's show. He's got great information about podcasting.
Yes, he really does. He's been doing it for so long.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, way longer than me. He's a genius.
All of us. Yeah, he's been going at it for quite some time, but he's good at it.
He's great.
Has found his niche as far as that goes.
Yeah.
One last question. Well, a couple more here. So as an interviewer, your booking guest, you know, what if the topic is boring? And I hate to use that word, and I would never say that about anybody specifically. But how do you make it more interesting for the listener?
Oh, yeah. This is a tough question. I would say, you know, if your topic is interesting, I would find some topics about you personally that are a little bit more engaging. Because I think some people get stuck in wanting to only talk about their expertise, which may be a boring topic. But the goal of podcast interviews is to build relationships, to connect with podcast listeners. So find aspects about yourself, your story, about topics that your target audience would be interested in that may or may not be exactly what you talk about, and discuss those because you really want to, as a marketing rule of thumb, you want to bring people in with what they want, bring people in with some entertaining content. And then once they're kind of in your community, that's when you can kind of give them what they need, which may be the boring information that we're talking about here. So, and I think the other thing would be, I've heard interviews and podcasts with boring topics that were really entertaining because the guest and the host were just great communicators. So, you know, do some improv comedy training, just learn how to speak in a way that engages people and entertains people. I have a background, I did theater throughout my whole childhood. Okay. So just being a speaker and a performer is something that I really enjoy, even if it's only through my Instagram story right now. So, yeah. And also the other thing is, because the nonprofit that I'm consulting with right now to help them launch their show, they've actually asked me this question many times. They're like, Jess, I don't know. Like, I think the topic might just be boring. And I said, yeah, it might be to you, but your listeners might not think it's boring. Yeah, yeah. You may not be your target audience. And I know that a lot of podcasters say you're your target audience. That's not always true. So just remember that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've struggled with this so many times because I've booked a guest and I'm so excited. And then I get into the interview and I just feel like, oh my gosh, this was not what I thought. I had different expectations and it just felt weird. But everybody else has loved it and said, oh wow, that was a really interesting interview. I had no idea. And yeah. So I like that, you know, you have to sell to your audience's wallet, not to yours. As we say, I'm a wine broker mm-hmm. by trade. So, you know, you sell to your buyer, not to your wallet. And I think you have to just, you know, think about the fact that you're providing an avenue and a platform for guests to share their story and to talk about things and to mm-hmm. really give them a landing strip to right. just share what they're doing, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So when you're not doing this and you're not podcasting and producing and booking, you go roller skating. what else do you ladies do for fun? You seem to hang out a lot, which I think is cool.
Yeah. So yeah, Margie and I are together. It's actually funny. We don't spend a lot of time together outside of work, but when you own a business together, your work is kind of a lot of your life. So, yeah, what do we do for fun? That's such a hard question to ask. So for me in my off hours, you know, I have two kids and I'm married. So I have a 3 and a 5-year-old. Okay. So a lot of my, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing outside of work is entertaining my kids, which is why we went to the roller rink this weekend. I haven't been roller skating since I was a kid. That was like the first time we went. It just popped in my head. Like, it's Saturday morning. I'm like, I got to entertain these kids. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? And I just thought, roller skating. Like, there's one roller rink 30 minutes away from us. Like, let's go. It was their first time going. My 3-year-old didn't do so well. Her legs were like all over the place, sure. right? Like, barely. But my 5-year-old picked it up pretty well. And he used one of those like trainer things. So. Okay. So that was fun. And yeah, Margie and I, you know, we like to travel. We're on the road, you know, once a quarter, if not more, for our business, to meet with our business coach in Arizona and to go to different conferences and client meetings. And we always have a fun time on the road. That's when our Instagram stories are the wackiest.
Yeah, you guys are great. So if somebody is looking to be a podcaster and book guests, just what quick piece of advice could you provide to those listening that you think is just the absolute most important thing that you could tell somebody who wants to do this?
Oh my gosh. So to honestly, the first thing that came to my mind is go listen to my podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that's like all of my tips would be there. So that's like, that's the one thing you could do to then go get everything else that I would want to tell you. So my podcast it's called Rock the Podcast. Again, we've been going for 4 years, so you can search. Actually, you could search my website, interviewconnections.com/blog is where you can see everything. And if you search, like, you know, pitch a podcaster, or one sheet, like there's going to be at least a one or more posts with either a video, a blog, or an episode. So I would just say go to interviewconnections.com/blog. That's where you'll see my blog, my podcast. And then, you know, if you want to inquire about working with us, all that information is on that website as well. And I would also say, since we've mentioned my Instagram, my personal Instagram is at Jess Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S 45. And then our business Instagram is at Interview Connections.
Wonderful. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining me on my show today. I appreciate it. All of her information will be available in our show notes. Thanks again, Jessica, for being here.
Thanks, Brett.
All right. Episode 103 is in the can. Thank you, Jessica, again for being on the show. And for all of my listeners for joining in today. Until next time, let somebody know that you love them. Let them know that you care. Have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you soon.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.